My name is Catherine Vickers. I am almost 15 years old. Today is November 26th, 2017, and I'm speaking with Sarah Lee, who is my grandmother. We are recording this interview in Flower Mound, Texas. And she...
Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Grammy.
Hey, darling.
I wanted to ask you some questions. So, could you tell me about your parents?
Yes, I'd be happy to. I had my father was born in Switzerland. He was one of six children, five boys and one girl, and he was the only one who was sent off to school from his little village, which was near Bern in Switzerland. And when he was 15 years old, he was apprenticed to a hotel school that was in Basel, which is on the coast of on the Rhine River near Germany. And he worked in this hotel school until he was 17, and then he was applied for jobs, and he was accepted for a job in Cairo, Egypt, and Oslo, Norway, and at the Waldorf Astoria in New York. And so he arrived in New York when he was 19 years old with very little money, and he did not speak English at that time. And the first night he put his money in a lockbox like you do in a locker at a hotel or at a bus station, and someone stole all of his money. So he had no money, but he had a job, and he worked at different hotels and restaurants across the United States until he arrived in Sioux City, Iowa. And that's why where my mother was born and raised outside of Sioux City, and they met and married, and began their life there in Sioux City. He was the manager of the restaurant in Martin's department store. It was a very nice department store in Sioux City. They had a very exciting marriage, though. It turns out my father, I didn't know this until I was older. My father was engaged to a woman, and she found out that her family had some problems, physical problems. I don't know, some disease that was rampant through the family. And he knew he didn't want to marry her. So he broke up with her and was going dating with my mother and decided to marry her. And in order, the previous bride-to-be sued him for alienation of affection. And in order to avoid the lawsuit and get married, my grandmother drove them down from Sioux City down the 100 miles to Omaha and Nebraska, and they caught the train to Chicago, where they got married and spent their honeymoon. So that was a very exciting time in their life for a couple that was very, very conservative and hardworking. My mother had been raised in Sioux City, and she had an unusual childhood. Her father, she had been born. Her father was a farmer or a rancher in, even though he was originally from Council Bluffs, Iowa. When he was grown, he went to the Sand Hills in Nebraska, and he homesteaded 180 acres. And my grandmother, who was unmarried, followed him and homesteaded an adjoining 180 acres. So they had 360 acres that they farmed together. It was not really farming so much as ranching. They had cattle. But can you imagine a girl now, her mama sending her off someplace unmarried and not knowing exactly where she'd be living or anything. But they started life that way. And then they eventually moved to, I guess the ranching was not very prosperous. He raised cattle, and he ended up moving to Sioux City and became a banker there and owned was president of a bank in Sioux City, and then bought a farm south of Sioux City in a little town called Sargent's Bluff. And he had a farm there, and a beautiful farm. He raised two daughters, my mother, whose name was Ethel Geraldine, and my aunt, whose name is Mary Ellen. And they were quite sophisticated for their time. They graduated from college, and they ended up, when they were grown, their mother and father sent them to France, and they lived in France for a year. And, of course, that was very unusual at that time. So my family is quite adventuresome. The interesting thing about Sioux City is, about Council Bluffs, where their farm was, is where the only place in the Lewis and Clark expedition where anyone died on the whole expedition to the West Coast from St. Louis was at Sergeant's Bluff. Of course, it was not a town at that time. And so it was named for the sergeant. Sergeant's Bluff is where he is buried. And so it's an interesting town. It's 7 miles south of Sioux City. But they were a very adventuresome, hardworking family, and my grandfather was very successful.
Ask her how Granny learned and how Mama learned to drive.
How did your mother learn to drive?
Oh, well, they were, as I said, they were a well-to-do family, and I'm sure they had cars when cars first started. Her father told her she could learn to drive. This is back before they had to apply for a license to drive. Back then, all the cars were started with a big crank in the front of the car. You turned it like a whirlwind around. And if you had to turn this and turn it to make the motor start. And her father told her when she could turn that motor so that she could start the car, then she could drive. One of the things that they did, and I have a picture that's quite interesting, when my mother was 9 and my aunt was 7, they went with their mother and father out to Thermopolis in Wyoming in the car. Now we're talking about 1902. So this is 1911 or so, or 1911. There really were not, certainly no paved roads, and the roads must have just been dirt tracks. And so we have a picture of them, the two of them, with a little Indian girl, and the little Indian girl has a white leather dress sewn that has elk's teeth all sewn on it, scattered across the leather as decoration. It's a very interesting picture, and it's wonderful to have such an early time in American life shown to us. By the way, I forgot to say my mother was born when they lived in the Sand Hills of Nebraska. The town called Scott's Bluff is where it is now. Was born in a sod house, you probably have never heard of a sod house, but that's where the sides are logs, and then the roof is made out of sod on top of the logs. And she was premature, and I understand she said that her head was the size of a teacup. And if you can think of a teacup, how small that is. So it's amazing that they could keep a baby alive at that time. And she was born, her birthday's in February. So you can imagine, no, pardon me, her birthday is in September, so they did not have a hard time keeping her alive. But anyway, it's amazing that a baby so premature could live.
What was your childhood like?
Well, I grew up in Sioux City. My daddy was at the tea room down at Martin's Department Store, and other places also, almost every place, we had neighborhood schools. And the school for our neighborhood was called Bryant Elementary. And, of course, that's named after a wonderful poet. We lived a block from the school. And it was, back in those days, you went home for lunch. So you start school in the morning, I guess at 11:30. Everyone went home for lunch and then came back to the school after lunch. And of course, it was easy for us because it was just a hop and a skip, jump home. But my poor mother had to fix lunch every day for all of us. One of the cute things that I remember growing up, Sioux City is in the Midwest, and it gets very cold in the winter. And I remember one time And of course, in up there we had ice skating rinks, and we all ice skated outside in the winter. And I remember one winter we had a sleet storm, and everything was covered with ice. We could ice skate down the sidewalks and the driveways, and over to school we could ice skate every place. It was so much fun. But we really enjoyed that cold weather. You always found something to do. You could ice skate. Iowa was quite flat, so we didn't do what they skied. Everybody loves to ski now. But you could play in the snow, and we played in the slush down in the gutter when the ice melted. We had a lot of fun in the winter. We made snowmen, and we were all out every afternoon after school playing. We had a lot of fun.
Tell me about your siblings.
Oh, I'm one of four girls in 4.5 years. My poor mother, imagine how hard it was for her. In fact, when my fourth was born, my sister Nancy, mother already had a 4-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 1-year-old, and she just didn't have much time to take care of a baby, so she was able to keep Nancy in the hospital. So Nancy stayed in the hospital for a couple weeks, and mother went over regularly to feed her because she was breastfeeding her. But we had, I was born like 6 years before the Second World War, and back then we were able to have help. My mother had a maid who lived with us, and that made it a little bit easy for my mother. And when the war came around, of course, all the women went to work, and we no longer had a maid. And so then we had to start doing the housework, which was a real chore, but it sure taught us how to keep house. And I was lucky. On Saturday, we all cleaned house, and I could do how to darn socks. People now never darn socks, but back then things were hard to get and expensive and somewhat precious. So I took all the socks, and every Saturday I sat down with something called an egg, a darning egg, and I put that in the heel of the sock, and I darned socks for the whole family. So I was lucky. I got to do something I enjoyed doing, and that probably was the beginning of liking to do handwork, like sewing and knitting, and I never did crochet, but needlepoint, all those kind of things. But our family we had a great time during the war happened then when we were young, and we're so spoiled now, we drive wherever we want. But during the war, you got coupons that gave you coupons for gasoline. You could not buy more than a certain amount of gasoline. You could not buy more than a certain amount of sugar. Each person was entitled to a certain amount of sugar each week. And meat, all of these things were rationed. And my mother and daddy liked to go every Sunday down to my grandmother's. She lived in Sergeant's Bluff on the farm. And so we did not ever drive our car during the week. We did drive to church on Sunday. But our gasoline was saved for going down on to Sergeant's Bluff every weekend. And mother, when she would go to the grocery store, we lived 2 blocks from the streetcar. So she would walk to the streetcar and go to the grocery store, and then have the person at the grocery store put the groceries on the streetcar and come back, and we would meet her. She would call us and tell us when she was coming. We'd meet her at the streetcar with our wagons, and we'd put all the groceries in the wagons and carry them back home. So that was how she got along without a car. And my daddy took the streetcar to work every day, so we didn't need a car for work. So many things we take for granted now that we don't have now, of course. Things like telephones. We had telephones, but you were very lucky if you had a private telephone line. Usually you shared with at least one neighbor, if not two. And they were not necessarily your neighbor. They lived someplace around. And you'd have a different ring. One person would have, the phone would ring one time, or one of the other person on the party line would have 2 short rings, another would have 3. And you could pick it up and listen to your other people talking, but that was considered very rude. And sometimes people would talk too much, and you'd have to ask them to get off the party line. Or if there was an emergency, you told them that there was an emergency and you had to make a call. But other than that, we shared telephones. And, of course, we had what they call pay phones, where you go in, put a dime in, and make a telephone. We didn't have cell phones or all the things we have now. What we did during the war, we all were very, very patriotic, of course, and America has not had to be patriotic since then so much, which is a shame. But we all, every week, bought savings bonds, and we'd take 10 cents to school, and we had a book, like a coupon book, and we'd buy a savings bond and a little coupon, and we'd stamp it in the savings book. And when we got the whole book filled, then we could buy a $17 savings account. And when it matured, it was like a bank deposit. When it matured, it would be worth $25. So we were, because the government needed money badly to finance the war. We also collected cigarettes. Inside of cigarette packages were coated with aluminum foil. And we'd take that aluminum foil and roll it up in balls. And when we'd get a big ball, we'd turn it in because they used that aluminum to build airplanes. We also had milkweed is a plant that grows that has a fluffy, fluffy flower in the Midwest. I don't think we have many here in the South. And I would collect those, and because they use those, our fighter pilots out in the ocean needed life jackets. And so this mildew, these seed pods provided flotation for the life jackets. I hope it saves a lot of airmen. It certainly was wonderful. But we all fought. Every week we went to the movies and saw the movies about what was going on with the war. And every Saturday we went downtown on the bus and went to a movie and saw a cartoon, and then went and usually had a Coke someplace and then took the bus home. We had a good life. It was fun.
Your name, Sarah, is spelled S-A-H-R-A rather than the traditional spelling. Can you tell me why that is?
Oh, that's a wonderful question, Katie. My daddy from Switzerland, of course, had probably never thought about a girl named Sarah, and I really don't know why I was named Sarah. But anyway, on my birth certificate, my name is spelled S-A-R-A-H, Sarah Elizabeth Schmid, S-C-H-M-I-D. And sometime before going to school, I don't know when it really happened, my name was changed to S-A-H-R-A. Not legally, but that's how I, when I went to school, that's the spelling I used. And my father did not know the correct spelling of Sarah, and that's how he thought it was should have been spelled. So that's the way he spelled it. I have since gone and changed my name legally to S-A-H-R-A, so that now I am legal, but for a long time I had an illegal name. When I'm on my first passport, everything was illegal because I was using S-A-H-R-A incorrectly.
You've already mentioned this, but what are some more technological advances that have occurred, and how did they affect you, and what was life before they occurred?
Oh, my goodness, so many things. So many things. I was reading in the New York Times today about a woman who just died who maintained typewriters. We didn't, of course, have computers. Everyone knows that. But so many things have changed just in the business world, adding machines. Everything, an old adding machine, you punched in numbers 1-1, and then you had to push a lever. The telephones now, of course, are almost all going to satellite. They're not on wires. It used to be you could pick up a telephone, and it would go through a wire someplace to a telephone for a telephone call. And as a result, you could make a call. And even when the power was down, now when my power's down, you can't make a call anymore, except with a cell phone. So that's changed. Cars, of course, are completely different. Although we didn't have air conditioning. We didn't have air conditioning cars. One of the first things was air conditioning in movie theaters was first thing that came out because everybody could go to the movies in the summertime and be cool. Or department stores got air conditioning, and Everyone went shopping. One of the things that I'm afraid has disappeared is the department's not technological, but it is interesting. Every Christmas, the two department stores here in Birmingham, each had big Christmas windows with fantastic displays. They'd be 20 and 30 feet wide. They'd have little trains going around, little things like villages and like Santa's helpers, all these cute things, and we always went down to see those. Another thing that I noticed the other day that is vanishing is Santa Claus's, here's close to Christmas, Santa Claus's in the department stores. I don't think they have Santa Claus's anymore. We always went, took the children downtown to Santa Claus. Technological advances, back then we didn't have, I don't think they had telephones. I don't know if they had telephones across the ocean, underseas cables laid. I was reading about a FDR meeting with Churchill during World War II. Things were so different. But many, many changes, and many more changes are going to be coming. People are not going to be driving cars anymore. We won't have bus drivers or truck drivers. All of these jobs are going to be changing. Oh, one other thing. I was lucky enough that during the summer, we went down to my grandmother's and spent a lot of time in the summer, spent the night. It was wonderful listening to the chickens crow in the morning, and she had chickens and turkeys and everything, and we would swim in the stock pond. So she had a great big watering tank for the cattle, probably 10 feet wide, filled with water, and we'd go swimming in that. It was fun. But one time, and of course I was running around barefoot all the time, one time I had stepped on a nail, and I didn't tell my mother, and my sister Connie, who's a year younger than I am, was a big tattletale. And so we were taking our baths at night. She said, "Oh, Sarah stepped on a nail." Well, of course, Mother jerked me up, and we went to, I don't think we dashed to the hospital that night, but the next morning we went, and they put me in the hospital. And I guess I was lucky because penicillin had just been invented. And so I had to have at least two penicillin shots a day, maybe more than that. But they were gruesome because now the needles that they give you shots, you cannot even feel the puncture. Back then they were huge, and I would cry every time they came in. It really hurt to have those needles. You could hear that thing going through your flesh. But it probably kept me from getting lockjaw, which is a very serious disease. So maybe it was good that Connie was a big tattletale.
Tell me about an adult that impacted your life while you were growing up.
I think my father probably was most important. My mother was a hard worker, very intellectual, very bright. My daddy had not even finished what we call high school. I remember I was taking solid geometry, or it was algebra in high school, and I didn't understand it, and I said, "Daddy, could you help me with this?" And he said, "Certainly," but he said, "You know, it's been a long time since I've had it. Why don't you explain it to me?" So I sat down with him and explained all the basics to him. Well, by the time I had explained it to him, I knew how to solve that problem. But my daddy was such a hard worker, and he was a very honest, fine man. Everyone loved my daddy. He was kind to everyone. But the advice he gave me when I started working was, anyone offers you a better job, then you take it and move on. And he did that. That's how he went from, of course, the Waldorf Astoria was a wonderful place to work for, but probably he wasn't paid a whole lot of money. And gradually, as he moved west, his reputation as a fine man, an excellent chef. Of course, he knew food because that's what he had learned while he was in Switzerland. He learned how to run restaurants and hotels. And so as his reputation grew, they paid him more and more money. So his attitude for people was, the customer is always right. And that's, if all of us can remember that, particularly if we're in sales, the customer is always right. And you make it right if it's not right. You make them feel happy about the circumstances. So Daddy was a tremendous influence. I had a very strong mother, and she bossed him. She was the woman of the house. And it was interesting, their relationship, when you look back on it. My sisters and I have kind of talked about it, but my daddy, as much as he was known for his food, he never cooked at home. That was my mother's place to cook, and invariably she always cooked she always burned the green beans, because she never put enough water in the pan. You know, you shouldn't cook with a whole lot of water. And she would invariably burn them. But the only time I saw him cook was one winter day. It was a snowstorm, and we couldn't go out, and I guess everything was closed. And he decided to make raised donuts, which are like Krispy Kreme donuts. They are so good. But my mother never would cook with fat. She thought it was dangerous around children. But Daddy did the donuts, and then we had donuts rising all over the house. You have to put them on a cookie sheet, and they have to rise up like you do bread. And so that's the only time I saw my daddy cooking. He never cooked at home. But he was very influential in my life, and all of us. I think girls particularly, their daddies are very important to them.
Are there any traditions that have been passed down through our family that you can tell me about?
Well, we all have our holiday traditions. We always have a turkey at Thanksgiving, of course, cranberry relish. We have an old grater that you grate up the cranberries and an orange, and then you an orange juice. And this year I decided to put some pecans in it, which were good. But that's great, a relish that you serve with Thanksgiving. Each of us have things that we remember differently. One of my other daughter, Lil, was telling me the other day that every time she has spaghetti, she remembers she always drinks milk with spaghetti. Well, I don't remember that. But we drank milk at every meal at home, and when the children were young. Unlike most Southerners who drink tea, we had milk for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and Barrett, my husband and I drank milk also. But Lil particularly remembers that with spaghetti. But we all have traditions. Our family always got together. My mother and daddy were very good about having all of their four children and their husbands and their children every summer at the beach someplace. We have a beautiful Gulf Beach in Alabama and close by in Florida. And we'd get together. There'd be as many as 17 of us during the summer for a week during the summer. It was just lots of fun. So all the grandchildren all got to know each other very well. That's probably our biggest tradition. And that's something that has really kept our family, all of my children, so involved with their cousins, which doesn't happen in too many families.
Tell me about the jobs you've had.
Well, my mother always felt that women need to be able to support themselves, which is a wonderful goal. That was probably before its time. Lots of girls went to college to get an MRS degree. She particularly thought teaching was a wonderful profession, because you could be at home with if something happened to your husband, you could be at home with your children in the summertime when school was out. But she wanted all of us to major in home economics education. And I went to the I went to several different schools. I first went to Sophie Newcomb, which was I was a very good student. I was a member of the Honor Society in high school. And Sophie Newcomb was a fine school, like Vassar or Smith. And I went to Sophie Newcomb my first year, and I was a very poor student. I had a wonderful time in New Orleans. And so I decided, my sister Connie had gone to Alabama, was having fun, but I didn't want to go to Alabama, so I decided to go to Georgia. So I went to Georgia for a year, and then I missed not being in Alabama, so I came home. but I majored in home economics education, and when I graduated from college, I went to work for Alabama Gas Company as a home economist in Anniston, and that was a fun thing to do. But I had been dating my then fiance for 4 years, and it was time for us to get married, and he was in the Army. We got married, and when I got married, I had $400 in my savings account. Well, he was only paid $70 a month, and I think I got a stipend of $90. But it's hard to live on that. And within a couple months, I knew we had to get a job. So I applied and became a teacher, a science teacher. I had minored in science in college. I became a science teacher in a junior high school for a year, and then we were finished in the Army. And came back to Birmingham, and by then I had a baby. We had a baby, and so I didn't go to work. But as the children got older, I realized, even though my husband made a good living, that it costs a lot to send your children to college. And I had done a lot of volunteer work. I'd been presidents of a lot of organizations, the Symphony and American Association of University Women, Girl Scouts, a lot of things. I decided I wanted to earn money, so I went to got my real estate license and became a realtor. And so I was a realtor for almost 35 years, and I really did enjoy it. It's a wonderful job making people happy and finding their dream home. It's a great, it's not like a dreary job that, you know, turns out bad. Everything, with good luck, turns out good. So I enjoyed that, and I was a member of the Million Dollar Club a bunch of time, a lifetime member, and I think I was very successful. And then when it turned out I was divorced, I supported myself for 30 years as a realtor. And so I know that it's important to have a job. We all need to be prepared for the future.
It stopped.
Did it stop?
I don't know how to add to it.
Hang on, Mom.
Hey.
No, hang on.
Don't you think that's enough?
Yeah, it was, but she was going to kind of wrap things up, but something...
That was a good stopping point.
Okay, did it literally ended?
Yeah, it said there's an issue with your microphone. If this keeps up, then I don't...
Oh.
Maybe that's enough time.
Yeah, it was very nice, Mama.
Thank
you. I learned a lot of stuff that I didn't know.
What?
Well, I never knew that. What were the things that I said?
The teacher?
I never knew you were a teacher.
I love the thing the other day Lil told me about the milk with spaghetti.
I remember milk with spaghetti, actually, because I remember for some reason somebody spilled milk into their spaghetti plate.
I don't know, but we had milk with everything, but so I thought it was so interesting that she insisted she has it with spaghetti.
Well, I really remember the Lesueur peas and the spaghetti and the milk all mixed in, and I don't know whether it was mine. It probably wasn't mine, because, of course, I never drank milk.
Yeah. Well, George Bush the other night was talking about Lesueur peas. So I thought that was
really?
Huh. Yes.
Now Katie's making a little bit of a face. I loved them when I was little, but now I don't like them so much, even though we have them sometimes. The little green peas?
No, I'm not talking... I like the peas. It's just all the stuff mixed together.
Oh, with milk.
Your peas into your spaghetti. I can't do that.
Mama, that was really wonderful.
Good. Well, I hope it works out well. I want to ask Katie, can you hear? So you can hear?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, tell me about when's your birthday. I know it's the next day or two.
It's Wednesday.
Wednesday, and you're going to be 15.
Yeah.
She got a card, but she hasn't opened from you. She got an envelope, but she hasn't opened it yet because it's not time yet.
Okay, well, that's fine. But, Katie, are you going to, I hope, for goodness sake, that you're going to get your learner's permit.
Yes.
Definitely. girl, Katie. You know what? You're going to be driving your brother around on dates pretty soon.
Mama, I wish you could have seen Katie's face during when we were talking. It would have been fun to have the two of you together, because just watching her face as you talked about stuff was really fun for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. That's cute. So tell me, Chris got off this morning?
He did. Yeah. I had gotten confused and thought the wrong time, so Don came over to pick him up like an hour and a half early. My fault. And so Don and I just sat around and read the paper and talked about stuff and ate breakfast here.
So, Katie, did you have a good time with Chris?
Yeah, it was fun.
We went for a really nice nature walk yesterday.
Oh, that's nice. Well, it's gorgeous here today.
It is here, too.
Yeah. We're having the house cleaners come tomorrow morning, so I'm going to go rake it tomorrow morning, but because I iron my Thanksgiving linen this afternoon after a while, the tablecloth and stuff. Well, that is so much fun. I'm so glad he was able to get home.
Yeah, what?
Did you get into the barber shop?
No. Nope. I'm letting him run that shit, so I don't really care.
I think you're right, Connie. He's going to have to learn that himself.
Although his hair has remained above his shoulders. For some reason, it has not grown longer than that.
It doesn't look that bad.
No, it actually looks pretty good. But in the back, in the center, there's a section that's about 3 inches longer than the rest, and that does need to be cut off.
Well, he's probably just chopping it himself.
I don't know. I think it's just, maybe it's, well, it's we have really good hair.
He probably can't reach back there.
I don't know. He's got a definite routine that involves shampooing at certain times and not at other times.
Men are so vain, they pretend they're not. That is so cute.
Yes, it sounds like he's really enjoying things and he's got his act together and he's learning a lot. So.
Oh, that's wonderful, Connie. That's just what you want out of college.
I know.
All of these things he can do, I tell you. What an opportunity. It'll happen to Katie, too. Although Katie seems to be better about grasping things now, too.
Yeah, Katie, I think Katie had straight A's until she did some bad... She did a bad report in her biology, so now she's got an 80.
Oh, my goodness. Well, she'll do fine.
She'll do fine, yeah. She's an excellent student, and she enjoys it, so it's all good.
That's wonderful, wonderful. Well, that sounds great, Connie, and I'm just so delighted. I think what we're going to do, Connie, you know, Christmas is on a Monday.
Okay.
So I think that we're going to arrive in Dallas on Friday, that Friday night before, and take you all to dinner.
Okay.
And be with you on that Saturday. That's the Saturday before Christmas.
Okay.
And then Sunday morning, we won't see you. We'll go on down to Houston then. That'll be Christmas Eve day.
So are y'all going to drive?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I might give you a box of...
I'm going to wait when he doesn't want to, but because it's a long way. But going back, we're going to try to maybe go to Avery Island, down where they make that hot sauce.
Yeah, Tabasco.
Yeah, down in the Cajun country. I thought that'd be a nice little side trip.
That would be a wonderful side trip. Remember when we went to all the plantations?
Yes.
That was fun. I'll show Catherine those fish pictures that we bought at that little shop.
Yes, I remember. Is that the fish one?
Yeah, I've got two fish ones. They're in my hallway near the garage.
Yes, they're darling. They're so cute. It's nice to have things that you have memories of.
It is. I should try to dig out some of those pictures and show her the pictures of you and me while we were on that trip.
Yeah. Well, on that Saturday, we're going to take you out for dinner on Friday night, and then we thought Saturday night we could cook at home. We have so much. You're such a good cook.
Well, you're sweet.
Is that okay with you?
100%.
Okay.
Okay, Mama. That sounds wonderful.
Love you, darling.
Thank you, Mama, for preparing and being ready and being patient with us.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Happy birthday, Katie.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
That was very nice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I wish you could have seen your face.
Was I, what?
Well, just each thing you'd go, yeah. Well, I mean, it was pretty neat.
It was cool.
You want to try to listen to a little bit of it now?
Do you want to publish it?
Did you read how to do that?
Yeah, it's just like there's a button.
Oh, okay.
Interview.
But don't you have to use state code or something in their code?
I'm not sure. Wait, what should I title it? Katie Vickers interviews Grandma or just Sarah?
Or Grandma Sarah Lee.
Sarah Lee.
L-E-E.
Yeah, I know how to
spell it. Oh, okay. Well, I
did. About her life experiences?
Yeah, or about her life.
About her life. Sure. What's the summary? One or two sentence summary.
Sarah Lee tells about her lifetime in the world when she was growing up.
Lee tells about her experiences in the world. Well, she
her daddy was very sweet. He died, I think, when I was six, but I remember how sweet he was.
Growing up, she... One or two. One's good.
Yeah, one's good, because you just want
to... Keywords.
This is so when other people want to search. Maybe Iowa. Alabama.
Iowa. Alabama.
Switzerland. Learning to start a car.
Car.
Not car. Learning to start a car.
Well.
Because that's different. Because many, lots of people do cars, but they didn't. Anyway. World War II.
World War II.
Job. Raising children.
Children. That is not how you spell children. I think that's good.
Okay. Now what?
Flower Mound. Oh, Texas.
I polished a lot of things today.
You did.
I polished both silver and some brass. Did you see these candlesticks that I polished?
Wait.
They're not perfect, but they're pretty shiny, aren't they?
Oh, I have to... Oh.
What?
Publish?
Sure. But you're supposed to, like, tag it for a state or something.
Given... all interview participants have given consent to be recorded. Yeah. Your interview is uploading to StoryCorp. Please stay connected to the internet.
Oh, okay. Cool.
It was interesting. Right when we started, I could see Gaia out in the woods, and I was kind of watching her like, I should be paying attention. But I was kind of just watching her, and she went around, and then suddenly, like, she was out there, and I saw her, and then I, like, looked down, and suddenly she was at the door, and I was like, wait.
Yeah.
Or I noticed her, like, long